Maybe that's better. John just gave us a very tall drink of water. This gospel today is the story of a pause that Jesus takes at Sychar in Samaria. He is tired, hungry, and thirsty after days of preaching and teaching. He has even taken a break from his disciples. The Samaritan woman who is drawing water from the well is a person with a few counts against her. She is a Samaritan, and she is a woman with a complicated life story. However, she is a curious inquirer who is moved to speak with Jesus in a time of mutual need. And as is often the case with Jesus, people who encounter him do so by chance and in a relatively short but powerful interaction. As a result, most are abruptly transformed. Their thirst and hunger are eased, and they often become the most fervent apostles. I picture the two of them by the well. Each needs the other. They are in what we might call a thin space, a place where heaven and earth collapse into each other, and we get a glimpse of the divine. In preparing for today's gospel, I revisited a thin space in my own life where I encountered Jesus at a well and where heaven and earth came together by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to tell you about it. It was in September of 2002 that I discovered that wells might be thin places, as well as gathering places. That fall, my husband Bob and I took a pilgrimage to the Clun Peninsula in Wales. The Clun is a triangle of land that juts out 30 miles into the Irish Sea from northwest Wales. The pilgrimage was sponsored by the Episcopal House of Prayer, led by David Keller, who was then the director of the House of Prayer, and the Reverend Jerry Doherty, who was then rector of Ascension Episcopal Church in Stillwater. The themes of the pilgrimage were pre-Christian Celtic life, the lives and wanderings of the 5th and 6th century Celtic saints, and many mystical places such as groves, hilltops, crossings, ancient churches, stone walls and fields, and holy wells, many that dot the Clun Peninsula. On Sunday, September 15th, some 20 of us gathered for Holy Eucharist at the Church of St. Hewn in Aberdaron, which is a cavernous 5th century church. Then we traveled to the western end of the Clun Peninsula to the remains of St. Mary's Chapel. The chapel once stood on flat ground high above an inlet on the shore below. St. Mary's Holy Well is situated between the walls of the inlet on the side of the cliff above the Irish Sea. After some instruction, we cautiously took turns along a small stream down the side of the cliff and to a number of crude stairs that had been cut into the rock. With little room to maneuver and the sea churning wildly below, we carefully approached the small rock-lined pool. Water flowed freely from its spring and into the pool, which was lined with lush green moss. We cupped our hands and filled them with the cool, clear, clean water and drank of it. I felt a calm come over me. I remember breathing deeply and wanting to stay very still for as long as possible. There was no sound except the crashing of the waves. Heaven and earth had collided for me in those few minutes. Through the water and the wind, I felt a renewal and the close presence of God. And in the distance across the sea, I could see Bardsey Island, home of an ancient monastery and the destination of centuries of pilgrims. I was just one of the many. In John's gospel lesson today, Jesus does what he often does. He stops at a place with some significant history, like Jacob's well. He has been working hard. He is alone. He's thirsty. He asks for a drink from the woman who's about to draw water from Jacob's well. This is a well where for centuries human beings gathered to draw water for household needs, to bathe, to seek healing, or to receive some kind of a blessing. Wells have long been gathering places for small communities. In pre-Christian times, wells were thought to be the dwellings of water nymphs or goddesses, or to have connections with pagan deities. Our ancestors may have made offerings to whatever spirits dwelt in the well in the form of coins, jewelry, or pebbles. The well was a necessary destination, a material, social, and spiritual source. There are so many stories in the Bible about wells and the history of Judaism and Christianity. In Genesis, each time Isaac relocated his family and cattle, he reopened wells that his father Abraham had dug. Each time he settled in a new place, he built an altar, pitched a tent, and dug a well. Isaiah predicts Jesus' message of water and of spirit. In this exhortation, he says, the Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Wells literally sustain life as well as symbolize creation, healing, and new beginnings. Wells have been places of divine revelation. Mary's well in Nazareth, for instance, is a place where legend has it the angel Gabriel came to her to tell her that she would give birth to Jesus. Wells as Jacob's well at Sychar in Samaria and St. Mary's well near Aberdaron in Wales have been named for other holy men and women, prophets, saints, and martyrs. For that reason, they've become destinations for pilgrims. In the Russian Orthodox Church, the woman at this well in Sychar has a name. She is known as Fotina. After her conversation at the well and after Jesus' resurrection, she is said to have been baptized and became a disciple. The story also has it that she was martyred by being thrown into a well. In last week's gospel reading from John 3, when Nicodemus asked about being born again, Jesus told him he must be reborn of water. So during Paul's homily last week, I could hear the gurgling of water at St. Mary's well in Wales and understood the rebirth through water to not only be for Nicodemus, but to be for all of us. Jesus and Fotina came to Jacob's well in search of water that they presumed was bubbling up from an unseen source deep in the earth. They were probably quite certain that the springs that fed the well were flowing despite being in a hot, dry land. At this gathering spot, Fotina began her response to Jesus' request for drink with a number of questions. Jesus, as he had done with Nicodemus, immediately put aside the issues of cultural, social, and religious differences. He heard her questions as a spiritual craving, a craving for living water, for new and eternal life. And as with Nicodemus, he gave Fotina the gift of God's reconciling love. He helped her understand her own complicated story and the path that would lead her to healing and wholeness. Jesus asks all of us to lay down our faults and misunderstandings of ourselves and others. our status as outsiders or insiders, good or bad, Christian or Muslim, material or spiritual. He shows us a path way beyond our current understanding of what religion traditionally tells us. He tells us that the thirst we have is a spiritual thirst, and that the wellspring that will feed that thirst is deeply within us. And he assures us that in following God's word, we can be liberated from all that social, cultural, religious, and material baggage. So during this Lenten journey, we all might reflect on the role of the holy well on our journey. It begins with acknowledging the profound thirst within us and within our neighbor. To try to understand what the basis of that thirst is, what are the burdens we wish to lay down, or the wells, are the wells nearby that we can visit? Where are they? How might we discover that we are worthy enough to receive the gift of living water, no matter how dry the desert of our lives? We too may surrender to the living water that is gurgling and burbling up within and around us. In closing, I'd like to read a poem about St. Mary's Well by R.S. Thomas. They did not divine it, but they bequeathed it to us. Clear water, brackish at times, complicated by the white frosts of the sea, but thawing quickly. Ignoring my image, I peered down to the quiet roots of it, where the coins lie, the tarnished offerings of the people to the pure spirit that lives there, that has lived there always, giving itself up to the thirsty, withholding itself from the superstition of others who ask for more. We too can enter into the wellsprings of life, even the brackish waters, with God's mercy and Christ's guidance. May it be so with all of us. Amen.